started. So let me give another, hopefully quicker example of one of those volumes. All right. So I'm thinking of the following region. All the points x, y, z where 2 is less than or equal to x, x is less than or equal to z, z is less than or equal to x plus y, or 2x plus y, and 2x plus y is less than or equal to 6. Okay? Now I claim that this actually equals the integral where x goes from 2 to 3, y goes from negative x to 6 minus 2x of x plus y, and we integrate with respect to y first, of course, and then x, because I put the y limits on that side. Now, how did I get that? There's some algebraic reasoning here I do to put this set up here of those four inequalities. I put it in a nicer form. So the most x could possibly be is 6, right? And then given an x, right, there's questions about what y could be, right? So how do I know that, why did I say 6? The most x can be, the most 2x can be is 6. So, 3. Yeah. X is at least 2. 2x is at most 6, right, because, you know. Did I get that right? I think so. No, I think I was right the first time. Yeah. And this is why it always takes longer. Okay. Let's start at the beginning. Okay. The first part is there. Given x and y, that part's pretty easy. Z is between x and 2x plus y. And right over here, how did I get the x plus y? I took 2x plus y minus x. This is how tall a piece of this region is if I drill a vertical hole through it. So I'm finding the volume, and I've got this little column here. Z equals x at the bottom, z equals 2x plus y at the top. And, okay, now, more careful this time. So given x, what can y be? Well, y has to be at least, so look at this 2x plus y here. The 2x plus y is at least x. And the 2x plus y is at most 6. So if I subtract 2x from all three of those things, what I get is this. I have the x minus the 2x is less than or equal to y. Right? Just subtract 2x from the 2x plus y. And that in turn is less than or equal to 6 minus 2x. So what I was doing there. taking this one, and this one, and I just subtracted 2x from everything. And then we see the negative x and the 6 minus 2x, those are the lower and upper y limits. And then the last thing is, what are all the possible x values? Okay, it's a little tricky here. Okay, let's see if we can get this right. So, two is less than or equal to x. That's the lower limit. That's pretty easy. Initially thinking it was 3 before I came to class, but now that I put it on the board, I think the upper limit is 6. Why do I think it's 6? Well, we have to be very careful about this part right here. So, basically solve this for x. Okay, so subtract y from both sides, and then divide by 2. See if I get that 6 or that 3 that I originally thought. Okay. So see what I did there? I took 2x plus y less than or equal to 6. I subtracted y from both sides, and then I divided by 2. And the issue here is, and what's the biggest this could possibly be? Well, that gets to a little issue of, okay, you have 3 minus y over 2. So, if you make y as low as possible, you'll make the 3 minus half of y as big as possible. So what's the lowest y can be? Lowest y can be is negative x. Negative x is less than or equal to y, and that means that if you turn that around, negative y is less than or equal to x. The least y can be is negative x. So the most negative y can be is x. Just take the number line and flip it around. Multiply both sides by negative 1, you flip the order. And so that goes back into here. The negative y is at most x. So the negative 1 half of y is at most 1 half of x. Okay. So. Okay. So I think, yes, it is going to be 6. Because we have x less than or equal to 3 plus x over 2. So subtract an x over 2 from here and from here, and you get x over 2 less than or equal to 3, and then you finally get x less than or equal to 6.
Okay. Yes. Okay.
So the tricky thing about this was basically the way I defined the region by this system of four inequalities was not ideally matched to the way the integral is set up. So I had to play this game of translation to put the inequalities in the right form, right? I had to have x between just two numbers, 2 and 6, right? And those are all the possible x values in my region. And then I had to have y between two x functions. No z's in there, right? And then finally, z could just be between functions of x and y. So, in the end, if I do the translation, I get that volume. And I can do this integral either on the board or on the calculator. And so, for example, let's see. X plus y, comma y, comma negative x, comma 6 minus 2x in the inner integral, and then comma x, comma 2, comma 6. 32/3, saith my calculator, right? So yeah, I had to play a little game here with pushing the inequalities around. The nice form where you don't have to push any inequalities around is this. Have your inequalities arranged in this nice way, then the translation is pretty much automatic, right? X is between A and B, Y is between these two functions of X, and Z is between two functions of X and Y. So you think of it as a curved surface given by K on top, curved surface given by H on the bottom. So you just subtract H from K to get the height of your little column here. Right? And that column comes from a whole region, right, of stuff. So where did our little column come from there?
It was the base
of some little rectangle inside some slice in there. And it was that base that we then pushed up to be something of height k minus h. You leave a bunch of copies of that little base right here. And the dimensions of that base are, well, there's a dx, and then there's a dy for that teeny little rectangle. I'm looking at it from another angle down there. So if you have things in this nice form, right, and and you'll notice that in my pictures here, K is above H, right? And G is above F, right? So F is less than or equal to G. Then this picture is actually valid, right? If the functions cross or something, it gets more complicated. And then you have to restrict things to the place where they don't cross. But this is the nice form. Where you understand it as, okay, there's a bunch of slices where x is roughly constant, and we make those slices in a range of x values from a to b. And then within those slices, depending on the slice, tells you where to start making the little additional chops, where we, from that slice, we chop it up into these columns, right, at different roughly constant y values, right? And we start at f of x, where x is for our slice, and go all the way up to g of x. And then finally, the height of our column is given by these h and k functions that are from here. This is a nice case, and in general, if your region is presented in some other form, you're probably going to convert it to the nice case. The only real variation on this that I see come up is sometimes people interchange the role of XYZ. Maybe it's easier to represent the region with, instead of X being on the outside and then Y inside that, maybe Y is on the outside and X is on the inside. Right. So maybe that's easier to cook up. And you have an analogous formula. You could even have Z take the place of, say, X. So it could be a DZ on the outside and then maybe a DY. And then here, instead of a difference in z values, it could be a difference in x values. But those are really just different choices of letters, right? You can change which of the three letters x, y, z are where throughout, and it's the same pattern. But I think there's a huge amount of stuff going on already, so I'm just showing you one of the six ways I could arrange x, y, and z here, right? I could have had it, z, x, y, and then I just have to change all the letters, everywhere else to be z, x, y instead of x, y, z. But it would be the same formula. Okay. Questions or comments about this? So again, in this example, the tricky part was really not the calculus so much as it was just some inequalities, some algebra about pushing around inequalities and doing a little conversion to a different format. Once I had the integral set up, I was good to go. That's not a hard integral.
Once you have the integral, actually getting the 32 thirds is...
Okay, you can do it on your calculator, but you can do it by hand as well. I'll demonstrate that. Take the antiderivative with respect to y. X is constant in each slice. So what do I get in here? I get an antiderivative with respect to y of a constant x. So that is going to be xy. And then a y squared over 2 for the other y antiderivative. And I just have to plug in the upper and lower limits. So you plug it. Now, let's be extra clear here. We're plugging into y, right? X is constant within each slice. So we're going to plug in these formulas in for y. That x there is just a constant for each slice. So we're not plugging anything into x yet. Okay, so we get x and times y. Take the difference from those two values. Okay, so 6 minus 2x minus negative x is 6 minus x. And then 1 half. And now here we're squaring stuff, so we have to take the difference of the squares, which is not the same as the square of the differences. So 6 minus 2x squared minus negative x squared. Which is not the same as the square of 6 minus x, right? Okay. And then we have one more integral to do. It's best, I think, to simplify this polynomial before attempting that integral. Right. So there's going to be a constant term of 36 from the 6 squared there, divided by 2, being 18. There's a linear term of 6x. And then when you square this thing, what is that? This is 36. 6 times 2 times 2 is 24, so minus 24x, and then plus 4x squared from the square of 2x. So you have a 6x, and then plus a half of negative 24x. Right? So 6x minus 12x, so minus 6x. And then here you have negative x squared, right? Negative x squared there. We already took care of the 6x. Now there's a negative x squared. Now there's half of a 4x squared, so that's 2x squared. So that adds up to a positive 1x squared. And then minus an x squared, but half of that. So I believe that all adds up to 1 half of an x squared. And then we finally have to deal with this. Okay. Thank you. Okay. And supposedly this simplifies to 32 thirds.
If I'm doing it by hand, I'm probably not going to bother to simplify all those fractions further. Yeah. Okay. Let me be done by hand. Took longer than doing it with the calculator, so
I think it's good to know how to do that kind of thing with your calculator. Save some time.
The real benefit to being able to do it by hand is if you had something abstract, where instead of an actual formula, it was just some functions x and y, and you had to do some kind of abstract reasoning about that. Could come up in higher math. You want to know what the iterate integral means.
Having practice with simple examples is good for that.
So that's the nice volume formula. You try to convert to that, usually. If you try and do the resulting integral by hand, you might get into the algebraic weeds here, if you can find a formula at all. Using a calculator is probably a good idea. Okay, questions or comments? There's more to life than just volume. Okay. So, for example, if I have this eraser, say. In physics, you might be interested in the question of what happens if you have, say, a vertical rotation axis, and you maybe hook up a corner of the eraser to a pole, and then you spin the eraser, right, around this thing. So the eraser is going around this fixed vertical axis that corner is stuck to. And one question is, how much energy is involved if it's spinning at a certain rate? And to answer that question, you usually want to know about something called the moment of inertia, which is basically an integral of the distance to that axis times something called density. And then you can ask another question. You could ask, okay, so if I could reshape the eraser into a ring of the same mass and have it spin at the same rate around this axis, what should the radius of that ring be in order to have the same energy for that motion of spinning? And now what you're really asking then is for an
what is the r, the distance to the axis, that would make the average, make the average r squared for the whole rectangle match your particular r?
So we come to the issue of, let's say the eraser is a rectangle. All right, so this would be pretty easy.
Maybe y goes from 0 to 1, and x goes from 0 to 3.
Physics, they are interested in actually the square root of this average. It's called the radius of gyration. Since x squared plus y squared is a function, you could also interpret this geometrically. You could say, I'm graphing an elliptic paraboloid, z equals x squared plus y squared. And over my rectangle, what is the average height of this curved surface? Right? And so then we can see how to find the average. We compute the volume under x squared plus y squared, and then divide by the area of the base. In this case, it'll just be 3 times 1.
So there's a general... let me do this, all right? Average of some function f of x, y over 2D region K is equal to, you integrate over K, and then you divide by the area of K. And if you're not sure how to find the area of K because it's not a rectangle, you know, if it's something more complicated, well, you could even do a double integral for that, right? Just think of it as the integral of 1, right? If you have region K, and then you think of something of height 1 over region K. Right, then the volume of that will just be the same as the area, right? Area times 1. Okay. Now, in our example, we don't need to work that hard. Right? The area is just 3 times 1. Width 3, height 3 of the rectangle. Okay. So for us, okay, we're going to do an integral. X goes from 0 to 1, y goes from 0 to 3. So I'm choosing to do x on the outside. You could do x on the inside. Yeah, why not? Let's do that for a change. Let's put x on the inside. Okay. So on the inside now, x goes from 0 to 1, then the outside, y goes from 0 to 3. And, oh, but we need to divide by that area of 3. Okay. So this will be the average squared distance to the origin, if you like.
Okay.
This is a kind of physics application. So I'm thinking here of my rectangle. And there's the origin there. I should make the rectangle more wide. And there's different rings that are at different radii, right? And the question is, if I take the square of those radii, which ring has the average value when you square its radius?
Well, let's...
Okay, you can do it by hand, or again, you can do it by calculator. This one's easier than that one. I could definitely do this by hand without too much trouble. And you can tell me if your calculator agrees with me. Okay, so here I'm going to integrate with respect to x first. Right? So
So y is constant on slice.
For each
slice, right?
Because I put x on the inside just for a little change. You can do it either way. You'll get the same answer, right? So x goes from 0 to 1 here. Okay, so x cubed over 3, and then plus what?
XY
squared, very good. Yeah, because we're holding y constant, so it's just so the antiderivative is a function with constant slope y squared, and then I plug in 1 and 0, which is not too bad, right? Okay, 1 cubed minus 0 cubed is 1 minus 0, which is 1. So 1/3, and then here 1y squared minus 0y squared is just 1y squared. Yes, that's a dy. Is that what you were worried about, Ray?
No.
Oh, did I make another mistake?
Isn't 0 to 1 go with the y boundary?
Yes. Yeah, that's right. You're absolutely right. Yeah. X goes from 0 to 3. Okay, so. Okay, so plug in 3 and 0, and you get 27 minus 0 from the cubes. And then here you get 3y squared minus 0y squared. So. Okay. And somewhere along the way, you've got to remember to divide by 3. Okay, so fixing all that. Yeah, keep the division by 3 because we're getting the average value. Okay, so that's a 9. So we're going to get now 9y. The antiderivative of 3y squared is just y cubed. So we get 9y, plug in 0 and 1. And we're dividing by 3. And so we'll get 9 and 1 minus nothing and nothing. So I think we're going to get 10/3. Okay. And that would mean that the radius around the square root of 10/3 would be the radius where if you square it, that's an average r squared value, somewhere around there. So the average value of x squared plus y squared in this rectangle is 10/3, which you can think of as just the average height of that graph over the rectangle, or you can think of it as having something to do with rotational energy in physics. What's the rotational equivalent of my eraser as a ring? Well, it'd be a ring of radius square root of 10/3, right? Questions about this or other horrible mistakes here? What if we had a triangle? Not everything is a rectangle.
Okay.
Little triangle.
A triangle. So we could do the same question again. We could do the average value of, say, x squared plus y squared. We could do a different function, right? There's, you could take the average value of any function as long as we can do the integral. Method is general. Well, let's see. The area part is easy again. I made the triangle not too bad, right? One edge is vertical, the other edge is horizontal. So from here to here is an x change of 5. And from here to here, I guess I was trying to make this one shorter.
Okay. An x change of 4. Or a y change of 4.
Yeah, from 2.1 to 2.5. Yeah.
Okay. So,
how could we figure this out?
I can tell you the area. What's the area of this triangle? What's the area of that triangle? You don't need any calculus for that. Right triangle, base 5, height 4.
10.
Yeah.
Okay. So we just need to find the integral of x squared plus y squared over t.
And then divide by 10, and we're good to go. Okay.
Maybe we'll put y on the inside this time.
So what's going on here? So if I put y on the inside, all right, so we're going to have x limits, all right, so x goes from something to something, and then y goes from some function of x to some other function of x. That corresponds to making a vertical slice like this, right? The inner integral works on a particular x value. So if you're keeping x roughly constant, then that means you must be making it a vertical slice. Okay, so the outer part is actually easier here. What is the range of x values at which we could make a slice? 2 to 7. Yeah, that's not so bad. Okay. Now, once we make a slice, right? So let's say we're down here at x comma 1
for some x between 2 and 7.
Okay. Yeah, that's easy, right? Bottom is just y equals 1, and then we go up to here. What's the top y value we could get to, right? That's what I need to know. Over here, right? What's the highest y I could go if I make a slice at some x?
Negative
If I can get a formula for that, then I can plug this into the calculator and I can get a number for this integral. But I don't think my calculator will be able to help me if I just tell it, here are the vertices in my triangle, tell me the average value of x squared plus y squared on it. So I need that formula, or my calculator is not going to help me. So how do I get that? We're on the top edge of the triangle. What do we know about edges of a triangle? They're straight. I'm on a line here. I know two points on the line. If you know two points on the line, can you get a formula for the whole line? How do we do that?
Point slope.
Point slope, yeah. So on the one hand, let's see here. If we go from 2 to 7, that's a run of 5. And if we go from 5 to 1, that's a rise of negative 4. Right? This is for the BC slope. Let's switch the positions of these boards. On the other hand, in terms of the point slope, the way I think about this is, well, wait a minute. I could also go from, instead of from B to C, I could go from B to XY. Right? So we had B to C slope, but that's the same as the B to XY slope, which is, okay, so what's the run? Well, now we're going from 2 to X. And then the rise is, well, we're going down, right? Y minus 5 is a negative number. Okay? So on the one hand, you have this, that after simplifying, and, okay, so solve these things, right? Multiply both sides by x minus 2. Y minus 5 is equal to negative 4 fifths x minus 2. Add 5, y is equal to 5 minus 4 fifths of x minus 2, right? And that's your, that you may recognize as a, you know, a point slope formula. There's my slope, there's my base x value, in this case of 2, and my base y value of 5. Right? So those, that's the point, 2 and 5. And then I found the slope, negative 4 fifths. So either you have a point slope formula memorized or you can do some kind of reasoning like this and get it. If you have it memorized, then you can skip some of this stuff here. But in either case, now we can put something useful in here, right? So maybe I'll simplify it just a tad. Okay, 5 minus 4 fifths times negative 2, 5 plus 8 fifths, 25 fifths and 8 fifths is 33 fifths, minus 4 fifths x. So squeeze it a little bit more here then. 33 minus 4x over 5 is about as simple as I can make that thing. Cost of simplicity is an additional risk that I made an arithmetic error, of course. Okay, so now I can do something in my calculator. So integral x squared plus y squared, comma, y, comma, 1, comma, 33 minus 4x, close parenthesis, comma, x. I'm running long, aren't I? Okay, and my calculator gives me some big number. 27,935 thirds. So, I already gave you one of those tricky volume problems last time, so here's something hopefully not so bad. Okay. If necessary, use your calculator to get me a number if you can't get a formula. I think there's an exact formula.